And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Welcome to Thunderheads. I am Brandon Soule. We're missing Rob Larson again because he's in the process of quitting the podcast. We've been saying this for weeks now. I believe this is three of the last four full-length start-of-the-week pods that he's missed.
Yeah.
But I'm joined, as always, by the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
Two-man game today. And so, you know, we didn't really have a funny news story to start out with today. We didn't have anything that we really just wanted to talk about.
Because the news is mostly depressing these days.
So before we get to Thunder Talk, you know, Jason's a very picky eater.
Very picky. Pretty much eat hamburgers and steaks and potatoes.
Hamburgers and steaks. Just like multiple steaks at a time.
Yeah. Love them.
And I'm not a picky eater. I love a wide variety of foods, especially weird ones. And, you know, people think I'm weird for it. So I brought some wasabi peas to snack on while we're sitting here waiting. Because, you know, these kind of like when we're recording, we record at night like this. It's kind of during dinner time. So I miss dinner a lot.
So you
of
like to snack on some peas?
Hold me over through the
like
pot.
Like a normal person.
Well, they're wasabi peas. So what they are is they're basically like little, I don't really know what they are. They're just dried peas with, they're covered in wasabi. So he's got two wasabi peas and he's going to
just mind you, I hate spicy things.
Well, it's not spicy in that sense. It's like horseradish if you've ever had
I've never had that because it sounds disgusting.
Put them in your mouth and let's see what happens.
You want me to put both these?
Don't put your drink in your hand. Just eat them and see what happens. You got to chew them. Don't swallow them.
Got that crunch. Oh my God. We have burning my tongue, I think. That's terrible.
You kind of like them?
Yeah. They're okay.
Okay. If you start out by thinking these are just okay, you're going to love them, like, pretty soon.
Huh. Is that it?
Yeah.
Do they not get hotter?
No, you need more in your mouth if you want them to get hotter. You want a little more? You want to try, like, four more?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. So you don't love them.
I mean, that was a very strange taste.
It's different.
Kind of tastes like so wood. It's like what woody. I would imagine a bark of a tree to taste like.
So you didn't get the spice at all?
It kind of singed my tongue at first.
It's more of
it's more of tingle. Like a
if you were to drink vinegar type.
That sounds like the worst day of all time. No. I hate vinegar.
I don't mind vinegar.
The smell of it.
Okay, well, on to some Thunder Talk. I thought that was going to be
going to be way worse.
We should have given you like five.
Yeah.
You ate two tiny little the ante. Piece.
That'll be a Hero Zero punishment.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we'll do like ghost peppers or something.
Thunder are coming off a terrible week. 1-3.
About as disappointing as those wasabi peas.
In a week where, you know, the win they got was a great win against Utah.
It was incredible.
I mean, we don't have a Rob's rundown because he's quitting the podcast, but I mean, the Thunder were whooping the Jazz all game. Utah comes back in the fourth quarter. Thunder close it out. Russell Westbrook does Russell Westbrook. It almost felt like that was the beginning
of a glorious run.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, that was the downfall, right? Though, like the fourth quarter, they let Utah back in the game. Then they go to, Portland's after that.
Yep.
Leading the whole game, basically.
And then just
give up a 16-0 run at the end.
It was disgusting.
And then, of course, they make you feel like they have a chance. They keep they you didn't. On the edge of your seat. I was talking to my dad, and he had turned the game off. And I was like, the Thunder are down one right now. You might want to turn
Maybe
it on.
Maybe flip that guy back on.
Second night of a back-to-back, they got a fly to Phoenix. Played, like, just garbage the entire game. It was one of those, like, you know, they were down. I mean, they led after the first quarter. They started really well. The first 6 minutes of that game kind of led up a little bit. And then from then on, it was just horrific.
And the whole game was like really chippy. And like Russ was in a bad mood, it seemed like.
If he
let
Russ
that guy
doesn't
get
keep,
under his skin.
If Russ doesn't keep his cool, it's going to go terrible. Always. Yeah. I mean, I've always thought this.
This was like we had a debate about this on a pod a while back where it was like fun having happy Russ is way better than angry off the hook Russ.
And if you look at his numbers from that game, I mean, at 48 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists on 14 for 30 shooting, meaning he scored the ball extremely efficiently.
Yeah.
17 rebounds. He was the only one to do anything in that game, so I'm not putting the blame on Russ.
Right, no, it's definitely
but
not
it's
him.
The tone that him as the leader of the team, if you set that tone, if you get a technical by throwing the ball at the referee, which I'm not even sure that's what he was doing, I think it was kind of, I understand why he got the tech, but I also think like it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't let a guy, who was Derek Jones Jr.?
He had played 4 minutes before he was in the dunk contest.
You cannot let a guy like that get in your head. Like, how do you let a guy like that get in your head? I know that Russ was getting that guy in foul trouble from then on forward, but he clearly got in his head.
A little bit.
I mean, and so when Russ displays those he's pissed off.
He looks bothered, yeah.
He's pissed off. He looks bothered. It affects the people around him. He's supposed to lead this team, and you can't have the rest of the guys around you following that.
Right.
Because you, as you go, this team goes.
One bad apple spoils the bunch, you know? That's what they say. Clichés are clichés for a reason.
That's a true fact.
Science facts.
And then they have to go on a second night of back to... No, that was... Nope. No. Then they go to Dallas.
Three games in four nights.
Three games and four nights. Go to Dallas, a team fighting for a playoff spot, who's been playing. And this is another team, Dallas, on top of Phoenix, who's decided to go away from their veteran players.
Right.
Focus on their young guys. Both of them get the best of the Thunder. I mean, the Dallas game was the worst of the worst.
It was awful.
It was bad, but, you know, the Thunder on a road trip.
Like you were saying before, the Portland and Phoenix games, like, they gave you at least... Like, we kind of see this two different ways, I feel like, because those games, to me, I at least felt like they were trying and they were giving their all to try to get a win.
Right.
Even though they were, like, having a bad night. But the Dallas game, I mean, Russ always tries, but I just felt like everybody else, like, they were just...
Russ had his moments.
Russ
had his moments in the Dallas games where he looks like he knew it was over. He wasn't interested in giving his 100%. I mean, he had his moments.
It was probably like 97.4, but for him.
You know, he still had those possessions. It's so easy for him racing down the court and getting a layup if it's there.
Right.
But he had his times where he was just like, he's pissed off. He's frustrated. And I get it. He should be frustrated, right? He should be.
For sure.
What's he going to do? Just act like he's happy? I mean, it's not a good stretch, but you got to... I think you do have to consider what's kind of just kind of the overall context of the situation being new team, three new players. Or is that how many new players there are? Yeah,
I
three new
like
players.
Three or four. Yeah, three.
Taj, Doug McDermott, Norris Cole. And then you got Cantor coming back from injury, right?
Yeah.
So you essentially four new players into the rotation, and you're on a road trip. You're not playing well. You blow a lead at Portland. How do you fix that? You know, you don't really practice.
Yeah, not a way.
You have to go to Phoenix on the second night of a back-to-back. You don't get a full practice in. You're not going to practice after that because you just came off a back-to-back. So you might shoot around, but how much are you really going
to
change?
Yeah, and I mean the travel there from OKC to Portland, back to Phoenix, and then going to Dallas.
Right.
Like that's...
And Dallas, at that time, super hungry team. Been playing well. You know,
just picked up old Nerlens.
They caught the Thunder at the best time possible for them. And I think the story coming out of this week that everyone's really been dissecting and trying to solve is that starting power forward position. People are still wondering why in the hell Domantas Sabonis is starting at the four. And you can understand that, right? I mean,
yeah, because he's got rookie experience and leadership.
But you can understand why the people...
Right, not it.
Okay. Taj Gibson, they bring him in seemingly to be that starting power forward at the time. Veteran leadership, good player, very good player at times. He's not starting. I mean, I think there's been plenty of time now. If you're going to start him, you start him. I get it the first couple of games. Kind of seems like Billy Donovan's going away from that.
Yeah, I mean, I still, again, like him playing with Doug. Like, I still think they have good chemistry together. I think you can do that even if you started Taj, like we talked about. But I don't know. I like him coming off the bench. Like, what Rob had brought up before, Him playing with Kanter is kind of nice because you have some defensive toughness
about him playing with Kanter, though, there's been a really weird thing going on. When they're in together, it's like they both post up.
Yeah, they both run into each other all the time. I actually think Billy was talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
Or Brian Davis had mentioned that he had.
And so to me, it seems like Kanter, I understand the logic behind Gibson and Kanter together. It makes sense because Gibson's a good defender. He can correct a lot of mistakes that Kanter makes.
But offensively, it's odd.
Offensively, it's odd. And so if you think about maybe a guy like Grant with him, I know you might lose a lot of rotations. But just the fact that at least Grant can go to the corner and spread the floor a little bit.
Yeah.
As you say. So with all that being said, trades happen. Everyone felt really good about the trade when it happened. Thunder looked the best maybe they've looked all year when the trade happened.
Yeah.
And then last week, probably the worst week of the year. I'm not going to say probably the worst week of the year.
We had the three worst losses.
See, I mean, right, obviously, there. I don't think that you. I don't think
this can knee jerk ruin the trade. Like, I think this trade was really good because it got. If nothing else, Sam went and tried to get the pieces that he thought he needed, which everybody thought he needed, and we've been saying this forever. And he went and got those pieces, like. Of course, when you bring new people in, it's going to take a little bit.
Well, do you feel as good about the trade as you did the day after the trade was made?
Not as good as I felt after the Jazz game.
You know what?
I felt great about it that day.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what the trade... The biggest negative of the trade, in my mind, and it's especially true with Oladipo being out, which we're going to talk about, is the
guard depth.
You lost a lot of guard depth there. You lost Morrow. You lost Cameron Payne. And you get back Doug McDermott, you don't get back a guard in that trade. And they've been playing, now that Oladipo's been out, they've been playing Doug McDermott at the two. He's not a shooting guard. Yeah. He doesn't have the dribbling ability a shooting guard needs to have in this league.
Right.
He can't guard a guy that can dribble.
Agreed.
Or at least well, you know. So I think that's where the Thunder found themselves at a disadvantage. And then you see in a game like the Dallas game, where Brandis gets poked in the eye and he's out for the rest of the game, you're left with Russell Westbrook, Samaje Christian, and Norris Cole. That's your backcourt.
Not good.
I mean, how do you expect to contend with
that? You don't.
So the Thunder are now in the situation where if Oladipo's not healthy, if they lose one of these guys, they're extremely thin in that backcourt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, just on that point, like, for sure the guard position is very thin. And that does worry me, especially since our backups are Norris Cole and Samaje Christian. Like, that's not very good.
Right. Yeah. It's not ideal.
Not the best.
Well, I mean, one thing I will say about Cole, and I know he hasn't been great since he's been with the Thunder, but, you know, he's played only road games, right?
He just showed up and started.
Started playing the backup position. Right. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right about that, though. And give him a chance to come home. Give him a chance to get comfortable. Give him a chance to... when I see him play, I do think he will be the better option
over
Samaje. But he's not going to be a huge difference maker.
Yeah,
you know?
Which is... I mean, you don't need that, really, from him. You just need somebody to take care of the ball and that can provide some outlet of offense when needed. And please try to play better defense.
he's had a couple moments on defense where he's looked okay, but... The whole team is just discombobulated right now.
Yeah, and I think that's really their big problem right now. Like, they're doing okay offensively for the most part, but they can't get stops at all.
They can't get stops. They're in a huge defensive slump.
Dallas destroyed us.
When a team that numbers-wise, over the course of the season, that's a good defensive team like the Thunder are, you know, they've been hovering around that 10 spot all year as a defensive team. You have a little bit of a roster turnover. I mean, doesn't that point to chemistry issues, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before, how the Thunder play team defense. And when you move that many people away and try to reintegrate everybody, especially with this, like, in a road trip with a lot of it, it's really difficult to get everybody on the same page and communicating on defense. Especially when you, like what you were talking about, where they started to give away a lead against Utah, and then in Portland they gave it away. And it's like, I think that's demoralizing for the guys. And
there's been numerous glaring issues, you know? I mean, I think a big one that's sticking out to me and I've been wanting to talk about Oladipo, and we keep veering away from that path, but Adams is in an insane slump, right? He's not playing well.
Yeah, it's looked pretty bad.
The Thunder have to have more from Steven Adams, and I know that right now when I'm saying that, I'm mainly talking about offense. He has to be better on offense, but when you watch defense, there's zero rim protection right now.
Especially like when we, like, pointing out that Portland game against Nurkic. Was it Nurkic or Jokic?
Yeah,
Nurkic.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's understandable mistake.
But yeah, he got destroyed by Nurkic and didn't do anything offensively that game, I felt like.
Right. No, yeah, he had two games in a row, Phoenix and Portland, where he didn't play well offensively.
Yeah.
No. That was three games in a row because he didn't play well against the Jazz either.
Right.
He played well against the Lakers, which is the first game back after All-Star break, but...
Yeah, he's in like a little mini slump, hopefully.
But
hopefully
isn't that, and you know, if you're in a slump offensively, it's easy to let that bleed into your defense too.
Right.
And his role with the Thunder, he's the defensive leader in a sense, where he has so much responsibility guarding that paint, controlling rotations, being vocal, that it's just nothing is looking right now. He needs a night off or something, you know? I don't know.
A little time to heal and relax and maybe have a practice or two.
I mean, I just don't remember him. I know that he's had a couple game slumps before, but he had a nice start to the Dallas game.
Well, I guess earlier this season we were kind of semi-disappointed, but he was injured then. Like right now it just feels like he's playing poorly.
Yeah, and I think he's playing even more poorly now than he was then. But you're right. I mean, that's the thing that comes to mind. And now if we transition to Oladipo, his back spasm is keeping him out from 26 games now. whatever is happening, his back is just constantly
his
spasming.
His back is shot. I don't know how this works. Apparently, back spasms are very painful. I never really had one.
From what I understand, they are also very painful.
I've like pulled a muscle in my back before and can't like move my head.
The weird thing is, though, he goes to shoot around and he plays, but like, or he... shoots and shoot around.
Yeah.
But when he feels uncomfortable, he's just...
I mean, I've...
Do you buy into the conspiracy theory that there might be more going on here?
What, like, did he murder someone? Or...
No. Yes. Oh. Yes, he's...
He's hiding out?
He's waiting to go to trial.
That's as soon as I hear conspiracy theory, someone's been murdered.
No, just that, you know, the Thunder are the Thunder. They keep things to themselves. They keep them close to the vest. They don't...
Right, yeah. So maybe he's more injured than they're letting on.
Right, kind of like when he sprained his wrist and he missed 71 games. What's the deal here, though? Like, I think it's funny how when he started missing games and everyone, you know, oh my God, Abrinas.
That went away pretty quick, though.
Abrinas looked really good starting. Yeah.
And then we played Portland and it was like, oh, a real guard.
Yeah. Oh, he has to guard people.
He can't defend McCollum, though.
I mean, it shows you, though, how important Oladipo is to this team. Because I questioned it myself. I was like, you know, if the Thunder were to keep winning when Oladipo's hurt, what does that say about his value? What does that say about how much he brings to the table? And I think now, over these past couple games, you see that.
Right, and that's when we were talking about, like, should Abrinas start and everything, I think we all were coming to the conclusion, like, let's not knee-jerk and say absolutely start him. Because Oladipo, for one, is a way better defender than Abrinas.
Oh, I mean,
like,
it's not
hands
close.
Down, like, not even in the same sphere of...
No, not even close.
I'm running out of words.
And you got to keep in mind, too, I mean, Victor Oladipo is the second leading scorer on this team, even above Kanter.
Yeah.
And he does it in typically a quiet fashion, but those are important quiet points.
But it's kind of really interesting to me, like what you were saying earlier, if you lose one of these guys, you're in trouble, talking about the guards. But I feel like this entire team is like that. Like, if you lose Russ, if you lose Kanter, you lose Adams, or you lose Oladipo, you're kind of screwed.
But what is Pressey's obsession with deepening this front line? What is that about having... Because to me, if it were my team, which obviously...
It will be soon.
Soon.
It will be mine.
I'm like Russ in that MVP meme.
Yeah, just staring him up.
No, but if it were a guy like Jeremy Grant, you know, I'm trying to mold him as a power forward. I'm trying to mold him as a stretch four that can beef up a little bit and guard power forwards. But they seem very just, they want him to be a small forward. They want him to play that three position.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit of that same Roberson thing where they like his length. They like his mobility.
Well, because he's bigger than a lot of people at that
position.
And
he's long and he's lanky.
Yeah, and I mean, that's... what we're used to.
Right. So, yeah. but why not have a guy like that on your roster that can play the four? They can, because I still think he might be more effective at the four. And just going through the Thunder's rest of the schedule, their last 19 games, you look at guys that are starting for the opposing teams, mm-hmm. and you look at the matchups that the Thunder present, if they're starting Sabonis, or if they're starting Gibson, or if they're starting Grant, who I'm starting to think about.
You're talking about throwing Grant in the starting lineup at the four?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying...
You heard it here first.
But yes, that is what I'm saying. But if you were to consider it, if you were to consider making a change at that four position, mm-hmm. so let's totally... start talking about this four position because people want to hear about it.
All right. Let's get into it.
The Thunder have to play the Nuggets two more times. You know who their starting four is? Wilson Chandler.
No, I was about to say, does anyone?
Wilson Chandler. Can Sabonis guard Wilson Chandler?
He cannot.
I mean, so you have all these guys that are stretch fours. LaMarcus Aldridge, Sabonis isn't guarding. Grant can't guard LaMarcus Aldridge.
God, no.
Gibson can, though. You know, there's a lot of different guys that I think...
Are you saying to make this position fluid? Because I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's...
That's probably not something they would do.
It's just not... I just think the Thunder, they value developing these young players even... They value it over winning a couple more games this season.
Well, I mean, this season, is it a bad idea?
No, it's not a bad idea. I don't criticize it at all. But I do
understand...
That's
why I'm okay with Sabonis starting in my head is because it's like... What are you going to gain by winning those couple more games?
Don't you understand the fan that might see that potential of last week? Not this last week, but the week before where the Thunder are playing great ball.
Incredible.
They're playing great ball and they look like, oh my God, this team can actually, I mean, they can compete and they can win the hearts over the fans. Not unlike, you know, when the Thunder were the 8th seed in the playoffs that very first year and they pushed the Lakers a little bit.
Right, yeah, for sure.
So if you get this team and they make a charge, the four seed, whatever, and they make a little playoff noise. Even if you have to bench those rookies to get there, I think it's worth it to some fans because I think that creates a buzz around the team.
I guess this
and a little momentum going forward.
I guess this to me comes back to like, is the starting lineup due to you not having to like be chained down to giving them certain number of minutes. Like, is the starting lineup that big of a deal?
Yeah.
Like, you can start Sabonis.
It's an old school way of thinking, I think.
Yeah,
I think
you can just
say
like,
that.
Well, yeah, we're just going to, like they did with Perkins a long time ago, which did bite them in the finals.
And I think it's an old school way of thinking, saying your best five players have to start the game. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's not necessarily
that's
how
not
it is anymore.
So true, yeah.
But it doesn't have to mean it's not true either.
True.
And so I think when you look at when
it's
you
true,
look,
but it's not true.
All of that is true. None of it is not true. That's true that
it's
not
an alternative
true.
Not fact.
And I think you look at the lineups Billy has been rolling out there since the trade. And I know it's a difficult thing to do, but if you keep the starting lineup the same, you improve the bench. You brought in Taj Gibson. You brought in Doug McDermott. So theoretically, you improve the bench.
I mean it. I've been saying this since we made the trade. It feels like we have real players on our bench.
Right,
which
but
is weird.
But at the same time, the bench wasn't necessarily like terrible before. I know it was to start the season, but once Cantor got going, it hadn't been like an extreme weak link. They had actually been playing really good ball. So I think that you limit yourself if you don't change it up a little bit. Because, for instance, last week, Domantas Sabonis plays 13.7 minutes per game. He's a starter. Why is he playing 13.7 minutes per game?
Because he's not as good as the other people.
Alex Abrines played 19.7 minutes a game, the seventh most on the team. He's a starter. So I think that if you start better players, if you can start better players, which I know you're limited. Alex Abrines had to start. There's no option there.
Yeah.
So right. I'm not criticizing that. But with Sabonis, I think that if you start, he can play 14 minutes still.
Yeah,
he can still play 14 minutes.
He doesn't
have
to start.
Right, he doesn't have to start to play 14 minutes.
And but do I think you feel like they're trying to see almost like a Lamb, like a Jeremy Lamb test? Like, throw him out there, see if he does well. If he does, play him more.
This is although, a 63-game test. And
although I would say, well, I'm just saying they're doing it every game. But to counter my own point, they just did that, and he played really well, and then they didn't play him for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So I don't remember which game that was, but...
I just think that I understand the concerns about if you do start Taj Gibson... You know, you hurt your team's spacing, but is anyone really scared that Domantas Sabonis is going to knock down a bunch of threes on you?
No.
I don't really think they are. So I think that also, if you do start a guy like Taj, or you go off the wall, you go with Grant, or whatever you do, mm-hmm. you go with Kander, which isn't going to happen. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But whatever you do, I think that if you, the better player you start at that position, the more flexibility it gives you with your lineups going forward, because you're not, it's not like the coach goes, okay, all five of you come to right, the bench. Like,
we're subbing out units.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like you mix yeah. and match. I don't know. It's just something that I think, that I think has been a little inconsistent that I'd like to see a little more work done with. I'd like to see them really use what this trade brought in.
Yeah, but, I mean, I agree with you. I think it would be cool if they tried mixing it up a little bit and seeing what happened after that. I'm still on the camp of, like, I really like Taj and Doug playing together. But, I mean, they're not doing that much yeah. anyways, and they can still do that.
Let me stop you right there. I got some Doug McDermott stats here.
Oh, God.
I tweeted them out, but maybe everyone didn't see them. Since joining the Thunder, McDermott is shooting just 36.5% from the field and 23.8% from three. But
what was that?
36.5% from the field and 23.8% from three.
On a 3-point. Not as good
it's not
as
good,
I
right?
Hoped.
But listen to this. Here's some, like some context here.
Okay.
So only 35.7% of his shots have been open or wide open, uh-huh. considered to the tracking cameras yeah. with the NBA, opposed to 45.3% of them being open or wide open with Chicago. It's not yeah. like Chicago spaces the floor. You're talking
That's confusing.
You're talking a 10% difference. So these are the two, literally the two worst three-point shooting teams in the league that he's played for now.
Right.
And
he's getting worse looks now.
It's six games, so give him some time.
Right, yeah.
But at the same time, that's interesting, right? I mean,
because he was supposed to come here and get a bunch of open looks.
And I know Rob's been big on, like, if McDermott's going to play this. He played the second most minutes per game last week. He played 33 minutes per game last week. And it's because Donovan doesn't trust Abrinas defensively. He doesn't, because of his size, which I understand. Which, yeah, McDermott's not much better defensively.
Yeah.
And I know Rob's been on the, you know, if McDermott's going to play this many minutes, you got to get him some shots.
Agreed.
If Abrinas is going to play this many minutes, you got to get him some shots.
Agreed.
And it's true, but you know, I don't know where you point the finger.
They're not out there for defense. That's for
I don't
sure.
know if you can point the finger at Russell Westbrook at the way he plays, the way he runs the offense. He's not. It's funny when people talk about switch, like if you swapped him and James Harden, I think that the Thunder would be worse than they are now, and I think Houston would be worse than they are now.
I agree.
I think the rosters have been built around who they are. I don't think Russ is a guy that sets up 3-point shooters.
Yeah,
very often.
Although I don't think our roster's completed its build around Russell for sure.
No, whoa, I think you're right. I think you're right.
But I don't know. I feel like Russ these last 4 or 5 games has been really focused on scoring. And not so much on distributing.
And he always says, though, like he does always say, he takes what the defense gives him.
Right.
I believe him 100%.
Yeah, but I think the defenses are like, well, let's just give him.
Yeah. Let him score 50. If no one else gets going, we will win.
Yeah, you know? That's how that works. Apparently there's a tornado outside.
What is happening?
I don't know. Where
it's ad time anyways.
Oh, good.
On a mission to change the way consumers purchase glasses, GlassesUSA.com was created on one simple belief. Eyewear shouldn't break the bank. The smart way to buy glasses, GlassesUSA.com allows consumers to purchase eyewear from the convenience of their homes, offering a wide variety of high-quality frames and lenses at affordable prices with no risk.
That's right. GlassesUSA.com offers quality prescription glasses online at affordable prices that save you up to 70% compared to retail. A complete pair of glasses, that's frames and lenses, for those of you who don't know, starts at $48, and free prescription lenses are included with every frame.
It's hard to know what a complete pair
who
of
knows?
Glasses is. Like,
I don't know
what
that
does
is.
That include?
I've never even worn glasses.
Go to GlassesUSA.com today. Use promo code ALMIGHTY. That's promo code ALMIGHTY to get a mysteriously great offer on the first pair when you sign up.
On GlassesUSA.com, they actually have a virtual mirror where you can try on any pair of glasses by uploading your photo or importing one from Facebook so you can find your perfect match.
So what do you have to lose? Glasses USA has a 100% money back guarantee. No questions asked. Go to glassesusa.com today. That's promo code Almighty. And now it's time for another edition of Who's That Guy?
Who's That Guy? Who's That Guy? Who's That Guy?
It's been too long.
Man, that's good.
Been too long. Okay, so this is a little different than we've done in the past. It's been more stat-based in the past. This time, we're focusing on the 75 players that have played for the Thunder franchise in its history. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal clue by clue. Each clue is going to be about a certain player, and as you're not getting them, which I'm sure will happen,
it's going to be rough.
I will continue revealing clues until you get the person that I'm talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, we could be here all night.
So how long have you been watching Thunder basketball closely?
I'll be honest.
Yeah, be honest.
Closely, probably about, I think it was like a year and a half in to actually having the team. Because that's when I went to a game.
Oh, that's farther back than I thought.
Yeah, that's when I went to a... That's when I went to my first Thunder game and was like, okay, this is good.
Gotcha. Okay, so number one, here we go. This player is a center, okay?
Okay.
He played 2.5 seasons in Oklahoma City, which is 169 games total, and he started...
Hashim Thabeet.
No. Oof. No, listen to the
jump
clue.
In the gun.
Listen
jump in the gun.
And he played 169 games.
That was going to be my guess to everyone.
That's a decent guess if you don't listen to the rest of the damn clue. he's a center. He played 2.5 seasons in Oklahoma City. 169 games, started in 152 of them. Did Thabeet do that? No.
No, he did not.
No guess?
Kendrick Perkins.
No.
That's not possible with those clues.
Next clue. He's of Serbian descent.
Oh, wait. I should know that.
Next clue.
Say that again.
He's of Serbian descent. You want me to say those five words again?
That's it. Got it.
His best weapon as a player was his mid-range jump shot. He was a part of the trade that sent Jeff Green to Boston and brought Kendrick Perkins to OKC.
Okay.
He's probably... Okay, here's the giveaway right here. He's probably most famous for being involved in a brawl during a game between his home country, Serbia, and Greece, in which he threw a chair at another player. This is why he's a member of the Thunder, by the way.
I don't feel like I know who this is.
He was balding. He's white. Serbian. So you can.
I don't really know where Serbia is. First
it's in
of
Europe.
All.
Oh, guy! Really?
Oh, wait! It's that one guy.
Got it.
Kufis didn't play for us, did he?
No, but he looks similar.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the guy, but I can't think of his name.
Everyone listening right now is like, "You idiot!
Why don't you just say the name?"
Nenad Krstić.
That's yeah.
It was a tough one to start off, but I want to see your chops. You know, I want to test them.
Maybe by saying I watched closely a year and a half in was a lie.
Yeah, that sounds like
and
a
I probably
giant
didn't
lie.
Start, I start probably didn't
yesterday.
Start close. Okay. I really have never watched basketball before.
Second one. I think you got this one.
Okay.
This player is a point guard, played 62 games for Oklahoma City. 62. His career high in points in a single game is 35. He's in his ninth season in the league, but he's already played for 8 different teams. He's listed at 6 foot. He's probably more like 5'10".
Ish Smith?
It's a good guess, but that's wrong. It's a good guess. It's close.
Nate Robinson.
He was college teammates with Kevin Durant.
Oh, DJ Augustine.
Got it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that made it easy.
And then my last clue, which I didn't reveal.
I said Nate Robinson. You said he's like 6 feet. Like, that's incorrect.
My last clue that I didn't reveal was we once thought he was going to be the best backup point guard in the league when we got him.
Man, we are ridiculously
but
biased.
I mean, he was playing so well before the Thunder acquired him.
Like with every other player we've ever gotten? Damn it.
He did not play
what
well
is
in Oklahoma
this?
City.
Is there a curse? Is there a Thunder curse?
There might be.
Damn it.
Okay, number three.
I've done poorly so far,
this
I would say.
This player is also... You got that one. This player is also a point guard. He played only 4 games with Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Yeah, makes it hard, huh? In his fourth year in the NBA, he averaged 17.2 points per game, 3.9 rebounds per game, and 4.1 assists per game for the New York Knicks. He's currently in the D League, a.k.a. the G League.
Nate Robinson.
Got it. Nice.
I guess the last
got to buy clue three. Yeah, I know. When you said it, I was like, oh.
He's getting there.
Three-time slam dunk champion.
Champion. Yeah, he's short little fella.
Okay, here's one you're not going to get.
He's my height.
Here's one you're not going to get, but this is for the listeners. They'll probably get it.
Hey, guys, feel free to yell at me through your radios and things.
This is definitely on the radio. Okay. This player is a center. He played only 14 games with the Thunder, but he was a part of the team for an entire season.
Is this that weird white guy with the red hair?
No.
I don't remember who he is.
Nope, that's not him. Not only did he play for the Thunder, but he was born in Oklahoma City, this guy.
Oh.
Nothing?
That was it?
Nothing? Even though he's just 26, he's no longer in the NBA and hasn't been since 2014. He was a third-string center behind Kendrick Perkins and Hasheem Thabeet.
Oh, I feel like I know this.
He played at Kentucky in college.
What the hell is this guy's name? I don't know his name.
He went to Bishop McGinnis.
I don't know his name.
He was not good. Now, he was extremely coveted coming out of... Well, like, when he was in college, everyone thought he was going to be...
incredible.
Yeah. And his stock kept dropping. He was drafted 29th, I think.
He just got worse and worse.
Daniel Orton.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
The, like, larger version of Russell.
Yeah. No, they did look alike. Him. I kind of forgot about that
I couldn't remember his name.
I should have put that as a clue.
Yeah. He looks also like a Ninja Turtle, but larger.
Number five. So what are you?
Not well.
You're two for... four. You're two for
shooting
four.
50%.
That's, yeah, you're shooting 50%. That's pretty efficient.
Better than Robertson's free throws.
This player is a point guard. He's averaging 2.9 points per game over his career.
That doesn't sound good.
He's mostly been a D-League player over his career. It's probably where he should stay. He played basketball at Xavier. He kind of has a lisp. He may or may not play for the Thunder right now. His PER is 5.7.
Oh.
He's bad.
Oh. He's a coach.
No. God, he cannot shoot. He's a point guard. He may or may not play for the Thunder right now.
Christian.
Got it. Woo!
Why did that take me so long?
You're on fire.
I thought it was Ivy.
No, it's...
He's better than that.
He's...
Way better than that.
Number six, you're three for five, but that's a fair... I gave that one to you.
Yeah, that took me a while.
This one will be fun. This player's a center. We've only had point guards and center so far.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Because that's all the Thunder have ever had.
I mean, I'm waiting for my Perry Jones the Third answer.
He played 44 games over two full seasons with the Thunder. So, bench player. He was part of the roster when they went to the finals. He went to the same college as Nick Collison. He wears a mouthpiece that makes him look like he's missing teeth.
Is this my
He's Hashim? White.
Oh.
He played for the Clippers.
The, what's his face? The hockey guy. He plays for the Wolves.
No. He plays for the... Did you say the Bulls?
The Wolves.
The Wolves, yes. Yeah. He plays for the Wolves.
Whatever his name is.
Sorry, I thought you said the Bulls.
I can't think of his name.
Cole Aldridge.
That's it.
I'm not going to give you that one.
Because you had to read me the name? Yeah,
you
I don't
seem
think that's
extremely
fair.
Stressed out in this situation. What are the names? I think you'll get this one.
If it's Hasheem Thabeet, I got it.
Well, it's not.
Damn.
But I think you'll get one. Okay, number seven. This player's a shooting guard. Switching it up.
Woo.
Played 125 games with the Thunder. Had a nice little run. He's arguably the greatest basketball player of all time.
Jeremy Lamb?
No. Good guess, though.
Daquan Cook.
He was the fourth overall pick in the 2012 draft. He was the sixth man on his college team.
I don't know that.
Nazi Muhammad coined the nickname... Downhill blank.
Huh?
So he's a shooting guard. He played 125 games of the Thunder. I'll give you some more.
Does he have a beard?
No. You can keep doing this like it's Guess Who or something.
Does he wear glasses?
He doesn't wear glasses. He's extremely lovable.
Did he kill Colonel Mustard in the billiards room?
He's extremely lovable. rarely shoots over 40% in the season, but he's really having a nice season this year. Doesn't play for the Thunder, though, anymore.
Tubbs? No, he played.
Everyone is yelling at you right now.
I don't know.
Dion Waiters.
Oh.
Arguably the greatest basketball of all time. I can't even speak now. I'm so discombobulated. So upset. How did you not get that?
You didn't say anything about him hitting game winners?
No. I didn't want to give it away.
That would have given it away right there.
All right, this is the last one.
Downhill Dion, I get it.
Yeah, you don't remember that? Downhill Dion.
Barely. I would forget yesterday.
It's in the playoffs.
The playoffs?
They coined that. Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
I've disappointed the masses. Like
unsubscribing right now.
This sucks.
Okay, number 8. Last one. You got this. Pay attention.
I'm about to Google it.
This player is a shooting guard, small forward combo. He played only 22 games of the Thunder, but he was heavily relied on while he was with the team. He has a bit of a wonky eye. He played 14 years in the NBA, had a really nice career, and now he does some broadcasting work.
All I can think of is this wonky eye, and it's not helping me out.
His time with the Thunder was in 2014, where he signed with them after his contract was bought out by the Bucks. So he went into the playoffs with them.
Oh, Caron.
Caron Butler.
Wonky eye.
Got it.
I was just trying to think of that wonky eye the whole time.
So like when I was thinking of my clues earlier, I like wrote down, it's like, oh, he has a wonky eye. I remember he has wonky eye. And I was like, wait, is that insensitive? I need to look and see like what happened. Did something happen to it though? Like,
oh, do you have the story behind his eye?
No, I couldn't find anything. So apparently
no one's ever asked this question.
It's just a wonky eye.
We should get media credentials and just be like, Caron, what's up with that eye though?
Well, where is he at that we would be able to?
ESPN Media Day.
I like, hey, we should get media. Like, let's just get
ESPN.
Twitter questions?
Yeah, that was a disaster with me answering those. You know what? I wish Rob would have been here for that.
Yeah, we needed another person, but
that had basketball knowledge.
But it's okay. Oof. It's okay.
All right. At Ben 3. Does the Thunder have what it takes to make a deep playoff run? Remembering the improvement made in last year's playoffs.
I think after this past week, it's hard to say.
Don't have that recency bias.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you do have a recency bias, it's hard to say that they do, right? But I think that they have the ability to make some noise. But I will put a caveat on it. If they get to that 5 seed, maybe the 6 seed, I think they could give the Rockets some trouble because I like the way they match up with them. But I'm scared about the Rockets' just ability to make more shots. And
which
I think
they would do every time.
They would probably make more shots, but he makes a good point about how the Thunder improved last year during the playoffs. Yeah. Steven Adams, namely, you know.
Right.
I really think they have to at least get to the 6th seed, though. They cannot sit in the 7th seed. They're not going to beat the Spurs. I just don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen for sure. All right. Yeah, and deep playoff runs kind of concerning to me. I don't think deep is the word for it. Maybe rather mildly shallow playoff run.
Yeah, like overachieving like a playoff
6
run.
6 foot maybe. in the swimming pool. Kind of in the mid.
Well, that depends on your height.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I mean, it's like in between.
How tall are you? Like if you're in that.
I'm Nate Robinson height.
Well, you're drowning then.
Yeah.
Or are you treading?
By an inch. On the tippy toes. All right. At CIC 66 or sick or sis 66. Is it just me? Or are we not running as much high pick and roll with Adams as of late?
I don't think it's just him.
It's not just you.
No, we're but not. I think there's a reason for it. They're not just abandoning
people
it.
Are packing the lane.
Packing the lane like crazy. So if the alley-oop's not there, you got to force a bounce pass in there.
Keeps dropping stuff lately. That's yeah, one of his poor. That's one of the parts of him playing poorly is when they do pass it to him inside, he's not holding on to the ball. People are running over and double teaming him, and he's doing just as poorly as Cantor right now is passing out of a double team. Which
you're
is,
right. I mean, he averaged 2.5 turnovers a game last week to 1 assist per game.
Yeah.
So you're right. I mean, and plus, Russ forcing bounce passes, pocket passes, alley-oops, whatever.
Everything's a pocket pass.
In the lane, according to Michael Cage. But if the defense is packing the lane, and you're going to run high pick and roll with Adams, and you're going to force things to him, I mean, you're just going to create more turnovers, and that's what the Thunder cannot afford.
Agreed. All right. At Whitetail178, what do you think has gone wrong with this team after that nice win against the Jazz?
I don't know.
All the things.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like...
I mean, what we kind of talked about earlier...
I think chemistry is a big issue.
Chemistry, yeah. Trying to integrate everybody with Cantor coming back. It's a lot of bad all at once.
It's hard to point. Like, it's so bad this past three games that it's hard to...
It's not one person's fault.
Yeah, you can't really place your finger on something. You can say, well, it's this. They need to do this.
If they just fix this one thing, everything would be perfect.
Right. Defense has been a huge issue. And it's just one of those things, like, once a couple things are out of rhythm, it throws everything out of whack. And it's really hard to correct, especially on the road, as I alluded to earlier. And I think coming home for this team is going to be huge. I mean, coming in next week, we're going to go over it. I mean, every single game is at home. And I think that makes a huge difference for a team that's this young. You got to consider how young this team is, too.
Yeah, agreed. At Rob D. Larson. How terrible.
Who is that?
Never heard of the guy. Also, what's the D stand for? Rob D. Larson. Never knew he had a middle name.
Are you sure it's not Rob Larson?
Robbed
Larson? No, Rob DeLarson.
DeLarson. It's got an apostrophe. How terrible is the first name of Norris? Asking for a friend.
He really hates this Norris name.
He really hates Norris Cole just because his name's Norris.
He's been saying this for a while. He was very...
Won't let it go.
Rob was very off of this Norris train the instant it rolled into town.
He was upset.
Yeah, I like the name Norris, personally. I think it's cool.
Feel like Chuck Norris would love the name?
Chuck Norris would like the name.
It's probably who he's named after.
It's a cool name. How many other people do you know named Norris?
Zero.
Right.
There you go.
That's how I...
Solved.
Yeah.
At Simply Joe Marr. Is McBuckets holding his weight?
No, not right now. I mean, but it's hard to place blame on him, right? I mean...
So you're going with these McSuckets.
He's been McSuckets last week. If Brian Davis just pulled that one out too.
He will. McThundersuckets.
Oh, no. No, I think it's scary. It's scary because, like, Thunder fans are having the Kyle Singler flashbacks right now.
Oh, no. Don't. No.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying.
He can at least move.
He can. Singler can move.
Can he?
He can't shoot off the move, but he can move.
Dougie can shoot off the move.
Can he?
They don't always go in.
Because I just revealed some stats earlier.
They don't always go in.
No, but he's not getting a lot of open looks. They really have. They're going to have to retool and kind of just rework their offensive scheme, I think, to really get him some open shots.
Agreed.
Get the new shooters they have on this roster some shots.
Like, you went and got shooters, and let's work with them.
Right.
At Thunder Radar. We must start Taj over Sabonis if we want him to re-sign this summer. Agree or disagree? This kind of goes back to our starting lineup thing.
Well, I mean, I think the main point here is about him re-signing, though. So it's like, but here's what I'll say.
Is that the goal?
I don't think it is the goal. Yeah. I think that, like I said, I think it was last podcast or the one before, I think the trade was essentially a Cameron Payne for Doug McDermott swap.
Right.
You know, the Thunder, Sam Presti said in his press conference that he thought Joffrey Laverne's price tag was going to be too high for the Thunder to match.
Right.
What makes you think that they're going to match something for a 31-year-old Taj Gibson?
And
it's not to say Taj Gibson isn't a good player. He's a good player, but it's just
for sure.
What history do the Thunder have of paying a guy that just came to the team when he's 31 years old and keeping him more years? I just don't see it.
I wouldn't be shocked if they let him walk.
I don't see it. They're not going to go into the tax for a Taj Gibson.
No, it's not happening. At Thunder Tie. Our buddy. Follow at ThunderTie if you don't. How do you guys feel about the Knicks not playing music in the first half against the Warriors Sunday? So I'm not really hip to what's going on here.
Yeah, so if anyone else isn't, the Knicks did like a little throwback thing in the first half against the Warriors on Sunday where they didn't play any arena music, no Jumbotron video, replays or anything in the first half.
It's kind of cool.
Kind of like a throwback thing. It pissed Draymond Green off.
I'd like that.
Which is funny.
I'm for it.
Everyone seems to have an opinion on this. I think that, for me, I imagine it at a Thunder game, and I guess I can see the appeal, but over the course of an entire season, it seems strange to me.
That would be weird.
Because it's like, doesn't that just make it college basketball, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, because college is like that too, where you don't, you have to just kind of figure out what's going on. You know, you don't have the things telling you what's happening.
Right.
You don't have the music that keeps you lively and everything like that.
Yeah, I feel like it would be awkward.
I think that's the difference between like pro. That's what makes professional basketball. It's
like
fun.
Exciting. There's like other stuff going on. Yeah. There's entertainment. It's entertainment. It's not just.
And according to Draymond, as much as I don't like the guy.
Oh.
But I think he's right. I mean, I think if the players like it and the players enjoy that atmosphere, then you got to keep it around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was odd for them not having music. Like, I mean, they have that every game. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it's something that they probably get into. All right. Well, so they'll probably never do that again then.
I don't know.
But maybe
some people seem to like it. I don't know. Maybe just do it when the Warriors come to town because it seems to piss Draymond Green off.
Do it the whole game when they come. Is that like a form of cheating?
I don't know.
If they do it just to bother him?
Is there a rule about that? Surely not. Obviously, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess it can't be. At Basket Follower, the good old follower of baskets. Yes.
Follow them all through the land. Wherever they go, I go. Collect them.
Just love the baskets. Why is OKC like day and night at home versus road?
Good question. What, seven in a row? Seven game losing streak on the road? It's haven't won a road game since late January. Young. That's the best answer I have.
Yeah. I mean, role players don't typically young role players don't play well on the road.
Yeah. I think Royce Young tweeted out a stat earlier about the discrepancy in home 3-point percentage versus the road, and it's just worse. Crazy difference. Yeah. So I think that's a big part of it. I don't know. It's worrisome. That's what makes you think that, you know, this team has to go get the 4 seed. If they want to win a playoff series, right, you got to go get the 4 seed. Court. Right.
All right. Now comes the panic. At DAbles88.
This is our panic section?
Yeah. Should we be concerned about Depot or even just in general?
Mm.
Yeah. Be concerned.
I mean.
Panic, everyone.
Yeah, everyone panic.
And my favorite tweet of the night, at Koji Gritton. What the hell is happening? But what is happening, Brandon?
I don't know. I mean, it was a bad week. We talked about it.
It was rough.
I don't know how much more we can really say on it. It was a bad week.
We'll get over it. They'll be better now that they're at home, right?
We'll see.
Don't they have to be?
I mean, for our pleasure, they do.
Let's get into something a little more pleasurable.
Cool.
And now for the Russell Westbrook triple-double counter.
Counting down. We're not counting down anything. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. We're tracking Russell Westbrook's chase down of Oscar Robertson's historic 61-62 season. He's got 30 triple-doubles. Didn't he have four in a row?
Yes.
He had four in a row. It looks like he was really going after it. It looks like
he was
going
to get another, like, eight.
Now he's had three straight in this awful week where he hasn't had a triple-double. So he's got 30 on the year. He's on pace for 39. He's still averaging a triple-double. 31.7 points, 10.6 rebounds, which seem to be locked up. But the 10.0 assists, he's got to have at least seven against Portland to maintain that triple-double average. He's been pretty much over it since game two, game three of the year. So. Yeah.
He really needs to come. We've been saying this, I feel like, the last several podcasts. Like, just come out and assist.
They need some guys to make
some shots.
If
somebody could make some buckets.
It's just, they need to figure out.
If someone's nickname had buckets in it.
I do think it's hard on Russ, you know, implementing new players. Once he gets settled into a system, I think that's where he finds his groove. When he knows where you're going to be. It's tough for him because
he goes so fast.
And I know that, you know, when we make fun of everyone who says he's not a point guard, they should slide into the. When you look at it like this, no, he's not a traditional point guard. He's just a crazy, amazing person that can play point guard because that's how good he is.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like. So he's not your prototypical point guard where he just is going to make things happen. Passing the ball all the time. I mean, he's a score first point guard. Yeah. So let's get some notes.
Let's do that.
Notes! Okay, Russell Westbrook. Speaking of him, I got a lot on him. He was named Western Conference Player of the Month of February. Woo! Second time this year he's been Player of the Month. He averaged a triple-double over the course of the month, which is just still insane. He's just doing it over the year. It's just so crazy.
5-plus months.
And it is officially official. Russ and Nina Westbrook are expecting,
have that goat baby.
Expecting a baby in May.
It's going to be an amazing kid.
I'm going to try to babysit it.
We should do that.
No, just me. Just leave me alone with it.
Oh, that got weird.
Well, I didn't mean like...
Well, no, I... Jesus, no.
You made it weird. It wasn't weird before that. Oh. I just wanted to, you know...
Steal its powers.
Feed it. Russ was the first player since 2012, Kobe Bryant, to score 40-plus games in 4 straight games. He did that. Most of those games were losses, unfortunately. Yeah,
so maybe don't do that anymore, Russ.
It was one of those things, like, did he have a choice?
He didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably not. You're probably right. The NBA announces measures. This is really interesting.
I like this.
NBA announces measures designed to improve training and performance of referees, including increasing the staff by 25% within 3 years and 10% by next year. So the league's going to use a new game review system to measure and track referee progress and their like call accuracy on errors over the course of multiple seasons. The enhanced technology, including virtual reality, will be used to help train the referees, and a post-game survey will let coaches input in real time.
That's going to be interesting.
The coaches, like...
Won't there be some pretty slanted reviews? Like
Steve Kerr just throwing a temper tantrum the entire time?
0 for that guy and 0 for that guy.
And they're also going. The league's also going to implement a new scheduling system to increase rest for the refs. It's real hard on them. And hopefully improve chemistry amongst the refs and kind of like crews stay together over the course of the year.
Huh.
Interesting. I mean, anything to help
the
game, I'm for. I like just the fact that they're taking initiative, they're taking action, they're trying to make the game better, the product better.
I like it.
Because there's some refs out there, man.
Pretty rough.
Like, they're notoriously not as good as most. You know?
Yeah, there are some.
It's... When you watch
there are
a couple.
I see them on the court before the game starts, I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be terrible."
Right, and it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
Adam Silver said union president Chris Paul reached out to him the day after the All-Star game, said something has to be done to make the game more competitive. I don't disagree.
Typically, not a Chris Paul fan, but I applaud this.
He's
action.
A level-headed fellow, I will say.
Yes.
I think we're only not Chris Paul fans because people who praise him.
Yeah, he's overpraised.
He tends to be overrated at times.
I'm going to assume that this was Cliff Paul that made this suggestion.
Because he's wearing glasses from glassesusa.com.
Ooh, brought it back.
Boom!
Nice.
Also, this was just in right before we started recording. The Blazers-Wolves game tonight, which is the game before the Thunder play the Blazers, was canceled due to like some sweat on the floor or something like
moisture coming
underneath the court. So,
God damn it.
Right, so the Blazers were going to be on a second night of a back-to-back, and instead they won't be. They did have to fly to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I guess that's something.
A little extra travel time in there to make them tired.
So up next, like I said, the Blazers, Tuesday, Thursday, Spurs come to town, and then Saturday the Jazz come back to town. Hero or zero? Jason, you're at 2 points. You're 2 misses away from having to call Al Eschbach and pretend to be Al Eschbach, which I cannot wait for. Myself, Rob, and Twitter are all at 6 points, so you have some ground to make up.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna be positive, Pauly.
Okay.
I'm gonna go 2-1.
I really thought you were gonna go 3-0.
No, we're not gonna beat the Spurs. What if we beat the Spurs?
You don't know that.
I bet Pop could rest everyone.
It's definitely a possibility. I don't know what their schedule looks like if they have a game the night before or anything.
I don't either. I didn't look into this hard enough.
Well, Rob's also going 2-1, and I wanted to go 2-1.
But now, you can't.
I'm going 2-1.
Damn it.
Because I believe it. Twitter, yet to respond. Well, they've responded, but yet to close. It won't close until game time tomorrow night. So follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. At OKC Thunderhead, subscribe on iTunes. Search Thunderheads and it'll pop right up. We are the official Oklahoma City Thunder A-Team podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Check out almightyballer.com. All kinds of pods, generic NBA pods covering the entire league. team-specific pods if you follow more than one team. Good stuff over there. Find us at Facebook, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, Overcast, anything. Whatever you prefer, we're probably there. 19 games left. 19.
Playoffs are coming.
Thunder has some work to do.
Yeah, they need to get better.
Good analysis.
I like it.
As always, Thunder up.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.